Book Club at 91.7, WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. And glad to have on the phone with me David J. Linden. He's the New York Times best-selling author of The Compass of Pleasure, How Our Brains Make Fatty Foods, Orgasm, Exercise, Marijuana, Generosity, Vodka, Learning, and Gambling Feel So Good. His new book is Touch, The Science of Hand, Heart, and Mind. And it's very revealing in that sense that people don't think a lot about. David J. Linden, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me on.
I'll begin with saying thanks for The Compass of Pleasure. That was a very enlightening book, and I really reveled in your research into the brain and how our brain works. And here in Touch, I was curious how you went from The Compass of Pleasure to Touch, but then I read in the acknowledgments you write, I wrote this book because over the years I've become an unabashed fanboy of Touch research. So, fanboy, what do you like about Touch?
Well, I'm always looking for topics where the biology explains something central about how we experience our lives. And certainly, pleasure fell into that category. Pleasure is central to our lives, and the biology of it helps us understand a lot of things. And the same is true of the sense of touch. Touch is intrinsically emotional. It's important all throughout our lives in so many different contexts. And yet, there hadn't been an explanation for a general audience of the biology of touch in many, many years. So it seemed like a good topic to weigh in. And at the same time, it turns out that the place where I work, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, is a world center of touch research. So every day I would have lunch with a number of the world's leading touch researchers, and I would hear about what was going on. I got so excited that those two things together really compelled me to write the book.
Well, it's interesting that we don't often think of the sense of touch. You begin the book talking about a game as a youngster where you're saying what sense would you not want to lose and why, and touch is one of them, but most often we think about hearing or sight, but not touch. You explain in the new book that sense is very important and very different. How is it different from our other senses?
Well, I think it's different in a couple of ways. I think one of the reasons why people take touch for granted is because there's no way to turn it off. In other words, if you're sighted, you can close your eyes and imagine being blind. And if you're a hearing person, you can plug your ears and imagine being deaf. But there's no real way to imagine losing your sense of touch. And it's not something that happens except in very rare genetic diseases. But if we look at young children, for example, you can be a kid and you can be born blind and you can have a great life. Your body will develop normally, your mind will develop normally, you can have a career and a family and everything will be great. And the same if you're born deaf. But if you're born with a sense of touch and you don't receive loving touch as a baby and a toddler, then a total disaster ensues. And we know this mostly from orphans in understaffed orphanages in Romania during the Ceausescu regime. There was nobody to take care of these kids. They were just propped with a bottle. You know, their diaper was changed once a day. And they had horrible self-soothing rocking motions that would develop. They had cognitive problems, emotional attachment problems. And it wasn't just neuropsychiatric problems. Their bodies were stunted and their gastrointestinal and immune systems didn't develop right. And all of these problems could be reversed if a volunteer would come in for a half an hour a day and do a little loving touch, a little hug, a little limb manipulation was all it took to completely reverse that, but only if it came in the first 2 years of life. After 2 years old, it was too late. So in the end, what we're left to conclude is that while vision and hearing are optional for human development, touch is not.
I'm speaking with David J. Linden, author of Touch, The Science of Hand, Heart, and Mind. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I didn't really think about it before reading your book, David, but touch and emotion go hand in hand together, and that's something I don't think a lot of people think about.
Well, right. We don't think about it, but we only have to look to our everyday vocabulary to realize this. When we say, mm-hmm. I'm emotionally affected, we say, oh, I was touched. by that. We speak of our feelings to mean our tender emotions. They're not our sightings or our smellings. And when someone is emotionally clumsy, we call them tactless, which means they lack touch. So touch is intrinsically emotional, and interpersonal touch is there to create bonds of trust and cooperation and empathy. It's social glue. It's what binds sexual partners into lasting couples and binds people in families and even in the workplace and in sports teams and all kinds of situations. Touch is crucial for our human emotional development.
And it's interesting that touch also affects our emotions and not necessarily, you know, affecting exactly what we're thinking. But you talk about holding a warm cup of coffee changes our impression of others. We holding a warm cup of coffee tend to feel warmer towards people in those interpersonal relationships.
That's right. So this was a set of experiments done by John Bark's group at Yale. And what he did was he had people either hold a hot cup of liquid or a cold cup of liquid before they looked at a resume of someone for a job. And then they were asked to rate this person. And as you indicated, if they were holding the warm cup of coffee, they rated the person as warmer. That is to say, more friendly, more trustworthy, more cooperative. Now, importantly, they didn't rate them as better in every way. They didn't rate them as smarter or more competent, just as warmer. Likewise, if you have people reading resumes and they put them on a light, flimsy little clipboard or on a big, heavy clipboard that weighs several pounds, you know, like as much as an old-school laptop computer, the people whose resumes are on the heavy clipboard are then rated as being more serious, having more gravitas. But again, they're not rated as being friendlier or smarter. So the kinds of slop over that we get from touch sensations that we then apply to the formations of the impressions of people, even if those people aren't there, even if we're just reading a resume, are rather specific to the touch sensation.
You talk a lot about how touch works when it comes to the skin and the various different types of sensors that we have in our body to help recognize what's happening with touch. And you also talk in one of the chapters about people who can feel no pain at all. And I was going to ask, you know, as I was reading the book, this question of whether you could turn pain off or not was going through my mind that I ran across this chapter. And that is, you know, when you begin to consider that lack of feeling pain, and from reading the book, you learn how dangerous that can be.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you might think at first, oh, wow, no pain ever your entire life. Sign me up for that. That sounds pretty good. And this is a very rare situation where the specific pain-sensing neurons that innervate the skin and the viscera and the guts and everywhere in the body are electrically silenced because of a mutation in the DNA. And this mostly happens, it can happen anywhere, but it mostly happens in places in the world where it's traditional to marry your first cousin and reinforce a rare genetic mutation. And these folks have no pain sense at all. So if you were to hit their thumb with a hammer, they would feel pressure and they would feel throbbing, but they wouldn't feel any pain. They can feel light touch and heat and cold, but not painful extremes of heat and cold. And the problem is that when you don't have the sense of pain, it's very hard to have the protective reflexes that keep you alive. So these folks, they drink hot, scalding liquids, and they scar their esophagus, and they put on their clothes too tight, and they and their shoes, and they dig into their skin, and they get bacterial infections. Even simple things like they don't rearrange their position in a chair, and as a result, they develop sores on their skin. And so it turns out that if you don't have any sense of pain at all, it's actually pretty hard to live past the age of 20.
David J. Linden, his new book is Touch, The Science of Hand, Heart, and Mind. Looking at the sense of touch and all the mysteries involved with that. And you talk a lot about the research that's going into touch, and your book is really kind of balanced between the scientific approach and some of the stories that you share. What audience were you hoping to reach with your book, Touch, David?
Just people from all walks of life. The book is designed for a general audience, and I use the stories to as a way to illustrate scientific points and to draw people in, because, you know, not everyone cares about, you know, most people will go their whole lives and never read a book about science. But
true.
Some of them might read a book about brain function because they care about human behavior. And that person is the person I want to reach. And part of the way I want to reach them is with stories.
I loved your chapter on the itchy and scratchy show, because one of the senses of touch that can be irritating is scratching. And I loved your quote from Ogden Nash, happiness is having a scratch for every itch. And this, some of the research into itching was just fascinating. You don't stop and think about scratching an itch, but boy, an itch is really quite an activity when it comes to the physiology of our bodies.
Right, and for a long time people argued, is itch even a unique sensation? In other words, is itch really its very own unique thing with its own dedicated nerve endings, or is it just like a mixture, like it's a little bit of light touch and a little bit of pain blended together in a cocktail? And the latest research in the lab on mice indicates that there are neurons that are specialized for itch sensation. And, you know, itch is unique because it compels scratching. It's not just, you know, any kind of sensation. It compels a very particular response. And probably, we don't know this, this is a guess, but it's a reasonable guess, probably itch evolved as a response to infestation by insects and worms. In other words, it was adaptive. If you feel a little crawly thing on your skin, to scratch and then dislodge it before that thing could infect you with a pathogen or burrow into your body. And that's probably also the reason why if you watch someone scratching, you'll start to feel itchy yourself and begin to scratch. So-called social contagion of itch makes sense. If the person next to you is being infested, maybe you are too, and it's adaptive for you to scratch as well.
Well, I was just inclined to scratch my head because I felt a little itchy when you were talking about that, David, so I guess I'm falling right in line there. And you also mentioned that women have a more refined sense of touch than men. Why is that?
Well, not overall, no. But in certain places, like the fingertips, they do. And the reason is, and I should say this, it's not all women and it's not all men.
Mm-hmm.
On average, if you get 1,000 women and 1,000 men and you bring them to the lab and you measure their fine touch sensation on the fingertips, the women do a little better. But the reason is that we have a fixed number of touch sensors, fine touch sensors called Merkel endings on our fingertips. And women, on average, have smaller fingertips than men, which means they're pressed, they're condensed into a smaller space with fewer gaps between them. And when the gaps are smaller, that gives you a slightly finer sense of touch. So if you're a woman who happens to have unusually big fingers, you'll have a sense of touch on your fingertips that's like a man. And if you're a man who happens to have unusually small fingers, you'll have a sense of touch that's more like your average woman.
I'm curious, since the book has been out for a few months now, what people ask about most. I mean, there were so many different aspects of touch that I learned about in reading your book, David. I'm curious what other people picked up on or were most interested in.
Well, it's sex.
Surprise.
There's no beating about it. You know, I like to, it's a little creepy, but I like to spy on people when the book is out on a table in a bookstore, and people flip right to the sex chapter.
Well, then I think that might go back to your brain research, wouldn't it now, in the compass of pleasure?
Uh-huh.
So, well, David, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for the book, too.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
David J. Linden, his book is Touch, The Science of Hand, Heart, and Mind. You can learn more about the book and David's work and his other book, The Compass of Pleasure, at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.